Welcome back, everyone. My name is Kaz.
This is Medibot.
And this is episode 88 of the Skulls Cast.
I am getting hungry.
I will have 88 some delicious food later, I think. But let's just blaze through this because we've been doing retcons of Tarkir for the last year or so.
Decade, at least.
It's wearing on us. I'm glad that we started from the bottom up because we usually start with white and now we're finishing off with it, which makes it feel like we're capturing that, you know, new set energy, even though that's really Dragons of Khans of Tarkir, which is coming later.
Dragons of Dragons?
Dragons of Dragons.
Dragons of Dragonland.
Dragons of the Vault. Modern Dragon Masters.
Modern Dragon Masters of the Vault.
Of the Vault. Commanders, Commander Edition.
Modern Dragon Duel Masters of the Vault.
Modern Dragon Duel Commanders of the Vault.
Duel Command Masters.
Duel
Command. So, with the white, our first card is Abzan Advantage. One and a white for an instant at common. Target player sacrifices an enchantment. Bolster one. Do I need to talk about Bolster?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Just to remind you of Bolster, Bolster gets a number attached to it. Choose a creature with the least toughness among creatures you control and put a +1/+1 counter on it. Where, you know, in this card it says A because it's Bolster 1. Some things have a bigger Bolster number. The number is how many counters you will put on
3
it.
3 or X or whatever. As far as the prowess combat trick, this actually is kind of good. And as a sideboard answer for the one enchantment that your opponent has, it's also kind of good. Outside of that, it doesn't do all that much.
No.
That's basically it. Conditional, not all that great.
Conditional is definitely the word I feel most strongly about for this one.
Because it allows two different conditions, I think it's all right.
All right. Next up is Abzan Runemark. Two and a white for a common aura that enchants a creature. Enchanted creature gets +2/+2. Enchanted creature has vigilance as long as you control a black or green permanent.
Junk. I don't care if it gets vigilance.
You don't care. It's good.
Attack with my 4/4.
It's not as. I mean, the blue one is really
the
great one.
Is a cut above.
Vigilance still seems kind of okay.
Alright, I'll put this on my Jeskai student and then tap him sideways as a perfect creature. Slightly more than perfect creature? Maybe?
Yeah. Bleh.
I don't like it.
Next up is Abzan Sky Captain.
And the World of Tomorrow.
Three and a white for a 2/2 bird soldier at common. Abzan Sky Captain has flying, and when Abzan Sky Captain dies, bolster 2.
Yep.
This is solid.
It's pretty great, because killing him is like not killing him.
Yeah,
his 2 power and toughness stick around on a different creature.
Donate my Energon.
So what if he said modular to, except he could modulate himself onto anybody? That'd be kind of good, right?
Well, it's not anybody. Bolster doesn't give you complete choice.
I guess, but it never fails either.
Right.
Bolster, like, you have to be actually out of creatures for Bolster to do nothing for you.
Yes, and that's kind of why Bolster is nice.
Yeah.
Is because it very rarely fails to do something.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So yeah, Sky Captain is a decent flyer and even better in a deck with other flyers.
Hmm. All right.
And it looks like the World of Tomorrow is Lightning Tornado.
Lightning Funnel Cake.
It's full of dragons. I'm going after them.
Got the nasty stuff. All right. Next up is Arishan Cleric. One and a white for a 1/3 human cleric at common. When Arishan Cleric enters the battlefield, you gain 3 life.
So what was that better guy from Rise of the Eldrazi? The, like, Hedron Wanderer, Nomad Cleric,
yeah,
Priest. Nomad cleric priest.
Yeah.
Core nomad cleric priest. You heard it here. I think he was better than this. Also, he was a piker. Also, it was 4 instead of 3.
Mm.
This guy was nuts.
All right.
This is just kind of junk.
I'm going to go ahead and call it better than that weaponsmith that Blue had. Because gaining life is way more relevant than whatever garbage he's up
to. What if you end the game at 2? You'll know that you had gained 3 life.
All right. Next up is Aven Skirmisher. Single white mana for a 1/1 bird warrior at common, flying.
See, I like this guy a lot.
I'm a fan.
I know that everybody that I draft with is like, oh, well, he's just junk. He's a 24th pick. He's whatever.
Are you kidding?
For one, he's a warrior. For another, he is a turn one play that you can always attack with turn two to turn on raid in your, you know, your warrior deck.
Mm-hmm.
And flying is really good. Especially
so
if you have
him up with stuff.
Nice. If you have things that bolster or enchant, it.
Yeah, with one toughness, your first bolster is likely pointed at this fellow. And then suddenly you've got a bigger flyer running around, and then you're in the driver's seat.
I think he's pretty damn decent.
I think this guy's
totally
fine.
Well, with a lot of stuff that is going on in the set.
Yeah, I think that's the things that context is what moves it up from being like 1/1 for 1 are worthless into being like, okay, so 1/1 for 1 that makes all of the other things I want to do anyway better.
Right, I'm not super hot on Suntail Hawk just for that. It's like, he comes in at the right time and speed and interactivity for things that what you are doing in the set.
Yeah.
And so I kind of like him for that.
Alright. Next up is Charm. I mean, Channel Home. Charm is the short version.
Ah.
Channel Home, 5 and a white for an uncommon instant. Prevent all damage that would be dealt to you and a permanence you control this turn by sources you don't control. If damage is prevented this way, you may have Channel Home deal that much damage to target creature.
I fell asleep somewhere halfway through the middle of that.
It's a damage prevention effect at 6.
It targets...
Targets the creature that's going to receive the home.
Alright.
Because it auto-protects you and your team.
Hmm. That's kind of cool. That's a pretty beefy fog. Fog plus Mega Lightning Bolt?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, importantly, only at a creature. You can't just melt your opponent's face off.
Well, yeah, no. But in fact, you were attacking yourself! I guess that's a little too swingy.
Yeah.
6 is probably an appropriate cost for something that can do quite that much. I wouldn't want like a lot of this.
I'm not a big fan of it.
I like the charm. No one ever suspects it for one. For another, it's a rather mighty Zappo.
It's a pretty big zap.
It's like it's that crucial, like, instead of losing, I win kind of thing that almost exclusively happens in, like, Magic the Gathering among card games that I play. If I could go back one step, there's one more part of Aven Skirmisher that I don't understand.
Okay.
He has the Jeskai rune mark in the, or watermark in the, in his text box.
Hmm. As opposed to...
The Mardu.
He's for this?
He's pretty plainly a Mardu forcing card.
Yeah, I mean, warrior, Ventrictors on turn 2.
It's like a turn 1 warrior that can attack. So that's kind of wacky. I don't know if that's a mistake or just, we have birds too.
Speaking of mistakes,
hey.
Next up is Citadel Siege. 2 and double white for a rare enchantment. As Citadel Siege enters the battlefield, choose cons or dragons.
Cons. Choose cons, by the way.
Choose cons. Well, let's explain why. Because by choosing cons, at the beginning of combat on your turn, put 2 +1/+1 counters on target creature you control. If you chose dragons, at the beginning of combat on each opponent's turn, tap target creature that player controls.
So the dragons is the defensive one this time around, which I thought was supposed to be like the opposite, like the dragons were the more aggressive type.
I think in the case of the Abzan, though, that is
Maybe
kind of how it works. The Abzan have their big old tough moving fortresses that the dragons then come and try to punch it out.
Oh. Maybe I don't get how these cards are supposed to
maybe they don't work. Maybe I'm making things up, whatever. And you should pick cons, because handing out two plus one plus one counters every turn is mostly unbeatable.
That's kind of good.
Like, this is better than Bolster, because you just get to pick.
Yeah, you get to aim it around.
Yeah,
and you know, you play it pre-combat.
Yeah, so
Look, immediate power. Does something
very immediately.
Hey.
Suddenly my 3-3 is a 5-5. Go to, you know, declare attacks.
All of that hemming and hawing I've done to try and convince people that the, like, rune marks are not just garbage and not, like, great, but sort of passable as, you know, I make my 2-2 into a 4-4 so I can attack right away kind of thing. This is just miles ahead of any of those.
Citadel Siege is bonkers. The same and more reason. This code is bonkers. This code will ruin games of Limited.
Mm-hmm.
No one enjoys losing to this code.
But you'll know why you lost. It's because they played their cool bomb and you couldn't beat it.
Yep.
Because it's too good.
It's too good. Alright. Next up is Dagatar the Adamant. 3 into white for a 0/0 legendary human warrior at rare with vigilance. Dagatar the Adamant enters the battlefield with 4 plus 1 counters on it. And then for 1 and 2 black-green hybrid mana, move a plus 1 counter from target creature onto a second target creature.
His ability is a little wacky, but what he brings to the table is 4 power and toughness.
Yeah, 4 mana for 4 power and toughness wherever it needs to be. Sometimes it's still on him.
Right.
With vigilance.
I would say almost always, because 4 mana 4/4 is kind of large. And hey, maybe you do get to move counters around and then you feel like a
champion. Throw them onto your flyers.
Put them onto your 1/1 flyer, which you do have.
Don't you, player? This guy's completely good and fine. Passes the vanilla test, sometimes does rude tricks.
In fact, the only strike I have against him is his name. Where do you get off calling yourself Dagatar?
Dagatar? Look, okay. If he were Modu, I'd give him crap about it, because Modu get to pick their names.
Yeah.
But someone older than him decided that he'd had to live with that.
Don't name your children Dagatar. That's a Pokemon name.
Dagatar!
That's totally... You know, I'm gonna release my Dagatar from its Great Ball.
Dang.
Cast Earthquake.
I was about to say, is it a ground type?
You can definitely stab with Earthquake.
Oh, no.
I'll say that much.
Alright. Next up is Dragon Bell Monk. 2 and a white for a 2/2 human monk at common with vigilance and prowess.
Pretty much what you get on the tin.
Yeah.
He's decent. His flavor text is kind of odd, though. He's spent years training his eyes and ears to detect the subtle signs of dragon's approach.
You mean like the giant fucking dinosaur coming up over the mountain?
Right. The subtle signs? How about the regular signs of them being huge? The overt
signs of them screaming and breathing nasty stuff.
Moreover, this guy doesn't interact with dragons at all. He just sort of is there.
Yeah. Well, he interacts with dragon bells, and they haven't printed any of those yet.
Oh. I guess a dragon bell would be an artifact, and then he would prowess it up.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's even, like, equipped cheaply to Vigilance Man. Maybe ringing a bell means that you are vigilant. Maybe the flavor text reinforces vigilance.
Well, the village bell ringer untapped whenever another creature came into play, so we sort of had vigilance.
Yeah.
Maybe bell ringing. We'll have to ask
ring a bell.
We'll have to ask Rosewater about that. All right. Next up is Dragon Scale General. 3 and a white for a 2/3 human warrior at rare. At the beginning of your end step, bolster X, where X is the number of tapped creatures you control.
This is also rather a good white form on a rare.
Blurt.
from Retcons of Tarkir. Because you can very quickly amass an unbeatable army of counters. And,
And then those guys get bigger, making it safer for them to attack, meaning that you will have more tapped creatures during your end step.
Right. Honestly, like, Dragonscale general best in a deck that tops out at four.
Mm.
You're just overloaded with your little attacky Mardu guys or whatever. And then, you know, okay, slam my general. All right, bolster three.
My morphs are 5/5 now. Your turn.
Pass. It's especially spicy when three toughness is the lowest among creatures you control, and then get to boost up the general, his or herself, themself.
I think that's a lady. I think in the plot that was a lady.
Okay.
All right. Next up is Elite Scale Guard. 4 and a white for a 2/3 human soldier at uncommon. When Elite Scale Guard enters the battlefield, bolster 2. Whenever a creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it attacks, tap target creature defending player controls.
Oh man, I might have to go back on my word on something.
What was that?
Didn't I call something the best uncommon? What was I talking about? Aven Surveyor?
Yeah.
No, that was best common.
That was best common.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Good. I don't have to go back on my
This
word.
Card is strong.
This might be the best uncommon.
This is pretty dangerous. You play this on an empty board. You get a 5-mana 4/5.
All right. Hey.
That taps things when it attacks for no mana cost.
Yeah.
And
most likely, you already have some counters among your squad. Maybe you even have counter lords among your squad. And, you know, if you even have two creatures with counters on them and attack right away, or like one creature with a counter on it, and this guy bolsters up the other one, and you get to attack and tap down two things, you can't get past this guy. Moreover, having two of these makes your board completely unsolvable.
Oh, God.
It's nuts.
Yeah, and in multiples, this is about as dangerous as it looks. God. You know, like, yes, I'll attack, tap those four creatures.
Yeah, like, okay, I guess my second Hordling outburst was not enough to contain your... Yeah!
You feel asleep. Yeah, this is a very solid uncommon, easy to cast, with only one white mana symbol in its cost.
His name is Elite, and he lives up to it.
It's very, very solid uncommon. Very good feelings from this creature. Speaking of good feelings and creatures, our next card is perhaps the best feeling creature.
Yeah.
It's Great Horn Krushok. 4 and a white for a 3/5 beast at common.
You know what I'm going to go do?
What are you going to go
do? I'm going to go find an open common slot in one of my sets. And I'm going to print a card in it that is a white and a 4 for an enchantment or an enchant creature. It's enchanted creature gets +3/+5. Just so I can have the, like, assemble the dogs on top.
Dude, that sounds bonkers, though.
Yeah. Like, okay. Great Horn Krushok is what we call a perfect creature.
Why do we call it perfect?
Because he has 3 power, which means he cannot be the target of Smite the Monstrous, because that's 4 or greater. He has 5 toughness, which means he cannot die to Throttle.
Or Flameslash. Or the Bathe the Dragonfire.
Which means that he sneakily gets around some of the primo removal spells at common in the format. There are plenty of others that can still take him out.
But he dodges like half of them. That's pretty good. Dodges half of removal is way better.
If the last card in your deck is a Great Horn Krushok, that's probably okay.
Look at that horn.
I only wish he were dogs. I love the Thraben Purebred.
Because they is dogs.
It's just a pile of dogs.
Just throw dogs at your opponent. They're just regular dogs. They're not like magical or fantastic. They're just some dogs. Fight with dogs. Don't fight with dogs.
Don't fight the 3 dogs.
But also in real life, don't fight dogs.
Yeah, that's kind of... That's definitely cruel. What the heck.
But in... messed up fantasy world that has no consequences. You know, definitely do capture Pokemon and fight with them. Next up is Honor's Reward. 2 and a white for an uncommon instant. You gain 4 life. Bolster 2.
This is difficult to evaluate. I mean, Bolster 2 is kind of good.
Yeah, Bolster 2 for 3 is...
At instant. It makes it a trick.
It's a trick. It'll hit prowess because mm-hmm. you're in a correct color for that.
You just sort of incidentally gain life.
And then, yeah, it really reads Bolster 2 gain for life rather than gain for life Bolster 2.
Yeah. I suppose they could have done that in either order as well.
This way it gets the reminder text.
Right. So it's, they don't bury the ability of the card past the reminder text, so you don't even see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want a ton of these, but I, you know, well, I don't, maybe if I'm super, maybe if I'm a prowess deck, though, this is a good trick in my prowess deck.
Yeah, I mean, it's a way to have more spells in your deck.
Yeah.
With a prowess deck, you just overload. You might have like two or three total creatures or something, and really, you need to pick up Feet of Resistance if you're going to do that, or counter spells or something. Because if you go low on creatures, you're going to lose to the deck that has like a decent amount of removal spells and some creatures.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how many removal spells or tricks you actually have, because then you'll just have nothing. This is really miserable when it just says you gain 4 life.
Oh, yes. Terrible.
Like, with the rest of it, you know, maybe you've got something on your hands.
All right. Next up is Jeskai Barricade, 1W for a 0/4 wall at uncommon with Flash and Defender. When Jeskai Barricade enters the battlefield, you may return another target creature you control to its owner's hand.
Now, this is a card that I've not gotten to play with as of yet. I think it could be really fun.
Yeah.
To be like, aha! Surprise! It's a wall!
Rescue effect that leaves a wall behind.
Right. Yeah, the rescue effect is pretty dang decent. It's cheap for it, you know. 2 mana. It has flash, so it's basically an instant.
Yep.
I like the card a lot. Yeah. It's just,
in the world of manifests, use it. You know, rescue also is pretty decent.
I'll rescue my land and play it for the turn, or my combat
trick. I'll
rescue
my Feet of Resistance.
I think that there's a lot of like self-bounce and a lot of bounce in the set because Manifest exists.
Yeah,
I think
yeah,
I've talked about that before.
There's the green creature that does it, and it's clearly there to
and then there are, like,
get back your Manifest.
Blue card or cards that's like, hey, bounce that and this.
These and those.
Oh, yeah, because it's a creature. Because I manifested my Treasure Cruise. Didn't really mean to do that.
Yeah. It's sort of a automatic error correction for bad field manifests.
I guess so. But yeah, if it feels like there's slightly more of that than usual in the set, I believe that's why.
All right, next up is Lightform, 1W for an uncommon enchantment. When Lightform enters the battlefield, it becomes an aura with enchant creature. Manifest the top card of your library and attach Lightform to it. Enchanted creature has flying and lifelink. So the blue one gave flying hexproof, this one gives flying lifelink.
I think it's better for it. Most of the time, you don't need to like protect your Windrake exactly. This is like, hey, what if my Windrake is lifelink? Like, what is that creature even called? A 2/2 flying lifelink?
It's called.
Do we have that?
Freaking good, they'll never print it.
Like, no, hold on. Like, Vampire Nighthawk is 2/3 flying lifelink death touch, sure.
Yeah, and was also
like
unreasonable.
He's unreasonably good. His miniature or chroma. I don't think we have a 2/2 flying lifelink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now we do.
Hey, maybe we could have like another multicolor set and have like black white for that.
Flying lifelink would definitely fit into black white.
Yeah, and then that would be like a competitive, I guess, cost with things like Knight of Meadowgrain and Vampire Nighthawk. Although nothing, oh my god. Vampire Nighthawk is way too good. I don't know how that card exists.
Alright. Next up is Lotus Eye Mystics. 3W for a 3/2 human monk at uncommon with prowess. When Lotus Eye Mystics enters the battlefield, return target enchantment code from your graveyard to your hand.
The cool thing about prowess is that you can get a couple like little prowess guys down and then just cast spells for the rest of the game, and your opponent is just shut out because they can't deal with that kind of power level. So anything that's this pricey and has prowess sort of lacks that same shine.
Mm.
Chiefly also if the prowess is giving you, like, once over again your power and toughness, that's pretty good. If I'm a 1-1 become a 2-2, that's far more than just becoming, like, a 4-3 from a 3-2. I guess, you, like, with the Shuyu and the Silent Tempest, you can still attack into morphs with this, but they're also coming down after the morph is coming down.
Right, right.
They kind of have to be expensive, or else you're not going to have an enchantment in your graveyard.
Yeah.
The best case scenario is you have way too many debilitating injuries.
Right, I was about to say, that's probably what I want to buy back with this.
And then your Lotus Eye Mystics get one back, and you're just like, ah, all right. Short of that, I don't think this card is making the cut. You're probably going to have better cards to put in rather than it.
All right. Speaking of better cards to put in rather than it, next up is Mardu Woe Reaper. Single white for a 2-1 human warrior at uncommon. Whenever Mardu Woe Reaper or another warrior enters the battlefield under your control, you may exile target creature card from a graveyard. If you do, gain 1 life.
So, 1 mana, 2-1.
1 mana, 2-1 warrior.
Warrior. Yeah. That's
basically good.
He's fine. You know, my piker costs only 1. Sure. His ability is really minor.
Yeah, but...
almost irrelevant.
Warriors that, you know, one-drop warriors that feel good about attacking is sort of important in that whole game.
I'll attack him into almost any turn 2. I can't even... like, you have to have something that's completely bad, like a Ration Cleric, make me leave my Woe Reaper at home. But, like, no one plays those, because 2-mana 1-3s are kind of bad.
Yeah.
In this and most formats. Man, wouldn't that be awful, though? Like, you lead off with your Woe Reaper, and then you just slam this 1-3.
And gain life,
and you're like, no, I'm being shut out by this totally bad card.
Maybe you'd prefer to be shut out by this totally excellent card.
Ooh.
Mastery of the Unseen. 1 and a white for a rare enchantment. Whenever a permanent you control is turned face up, you gain 1 life for each creature you control.
Alright, that's kind
of... 3 and a white, manifest the top card of your library.
Oh! The creature machine.
Yeah, so, hey, Cass, remember Mobilization?
I do!
Remember how
made one-ones
kind of unbeatable that is in Limited?
Yeah.
Well, what if it made 2/2s?
What if every turn you drew a spell?
And it said... And it was a 4-mana 2-2?
It was a 4-mana 2-2.
But that was in addition to your normal draw?
Right.
I'd be unbeatable.
Like, 4-mana 2-2 draw card. Like, every card you draw from the rest of the game... Every card you draw from the rest of the game is a striped bear with flash. Except you also draw other cards.
Yes. Please, first pick this. This is a creature factory.
Yeah.
It's card advantage, it's board advantage, it's life advantage.
Occasionally you'll get to turn him face up.
Yeah, eventually you'll hit a creature with your constant manifests. Like, this is a good use of your turn 2, because you can, like, turn 2 this, turn 3 morph, turn 4 manifest something, or do something else.
Get another morph.
By turn 4, the world's your oyster with this. Alright. Speaking of oysters, our next card is...
back to that 8-8 hunger.
Yes. Our next card is Monastery Mentor. 2 and a white for a 2/2 human monk at Mythic Rare. With prowess, and whenever you cast a non-creature spell, put a 1/1 white monk creature token with prowess onto the battlefield.
Yeah.
So, this
yet another creature factory that I like a lot. This is an army in a can for pretty cheap.
The tokens have prowess!
The tokens have prowess. So, you can't. The best part of Monastery Mentor, as compared to, say, a Young Pyromancer, is that Young Pyromancer gets blown out by, like, trickery and other, like, one damage, one toughness, soul kind of things.
Yeah.
Where Monastery Mentor just doesn't and can't. It's like, oh, what do I do about this? For one, the mentor itself doesn't die to that. For another, the tokens probably aren't either because they get to get huge. If this amazingly slots right into like vintage decks, where you can cast your like Moxen or whatever and get some creatures right out of the deal. And every like free counter spell that you cast also makes a creature and makes your creatures bigger. It's nuts.
Yeah, I think that like you mentioned vintage. I do remember reading that this is some kind of constructed play. Because it's a dangerous army in a can, much along the lines of Young Pyromancer, but a little trickier to remove. The tokens have prowess, Cass. The mentor taught them everything they know.
Yep.
And that includes getting big.
Listen to me, my pupils.
Get big.
Prowess.
Never skip leg day. Alright. Next up is Pressure Point. One and a white for a common instant. Tap target creature. Draw a card.
This is the inverse of smack your own head.
You smack their head.
Smack dragon focus. Head. Refocus.
Regain focus.
Regain focus. Restore focus.
Restore focus.
Rebuild
focus.
Rebuild focus.
Rescind focus? No, that's the opposite.
Some kind of focusing thing. But it's not Pressure Point.
Yeah.
I think Pressure Point is a little better than that.
Mm.
It's easier to just sort of overrun
your opponent. Right, tap down your blocker.
Yeah.
And prowess my team.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and I didn't spend a card to do that.
Yeah.
But I cycled. You could even use it defensively, maybe.
Yeah. And the choice is good. Yeah. I mean, surprise, my dangerous blocker is untapped and eats your best creature. Speaking of eating creatures, our next card is Rally the Ancestors, which is double white and X for a rare instant. Return each creature card with converted mana cost X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Exile those creatures at the beginning of your next upkeep. Exile Rally the Ancestors.
Let's see. Every time I read this, it gets horrible. Somewhere around. Oh, where is it? Oh, right. The beginning of your next upkeep.
Yeah. So you can't do the usual trick with this style of code where it's at the beginning of the next end step and you do it after, like during the next end step, so that you actually get to attack with them. And once they have haste, you're not attacking with these creatures.
All right. So what if they all did have haste? The only like creatures that have haste that you really want in constructed are like 4 mana and 4 power. So CMC 4 or less.
Yeah.
So that means this is 6 mana and that no. I can't see. Like unless we suddenly have a rash of goblins or something that has haste and some kind of weird drawback whenever you cast it.
Flame Imp.
Yeah. Yeah, Flame Imp with charge.
That's hungry.
Now, that was that one card that we don't get to play with from Max Ramis. Death Rider or something? It was like a one.
I don't know anything
about it. Okay, well, it was a 1-mana 2/3 with charge that when it dies, you lose 3 life or it deals 3 damage to you or something.
That's unbeatably good.
And it was really good, and it wasn't. It was like a fake card. You don't get to play with that. Yeah. The only place that Rally the Ancestors goes is in decks that make use of 1-mana white creatures who can sacrifice for things.
Yeah, I was about to say, because it doesn't have the other usual clause of if they would leave the battlefield, exile them instead of anything else. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to just sack all of them to something great, then suddenly this card looks kind of okay.
It looks really hot, in fact. Because for 3 mana at instant, I can get back all of them.
Oh, your Martyr of the Sands,
Cass. Oh, my Martyr of Sands. Are you
playing Soul Sisters again? What did I tell you about playing Soul Sisters, Cass?
I will play Soul Sisters in any format.
I will play him to Turok in any format that is available. We all have our vices, Cass.
I will have no regrets. I'll sacrifice my Kami of Fog, whatever that one's called. Wow, I've even played this card and I can't remember what it's called. Hold on, you go on with the set review. I'm going to find a card.
Alright, next up is Sage's Reverie. 3 and a white for an uncommon aura that enchants a creature. When Sage's Reverie enters the battlefield, draw a card for each aura you control that's attached to a creature. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1 for each aura you control that's attached to a creature. So this is like, it wants you to play a bunch of auras, except what are your good auras? Like, I guess all of those fakey make a manifest and then give it abilities are auras. That's kind of neat, but then, and this could, basically a lot of other things have to be lined up for this card to be any good.
It's Kami of False Hope.
Kami of False Hope.
What are we talking about?
Sage's Reverie, which is only good when Jupiter is in its eighth declension.
Right.
Because then you'll just, like, draw 5 cards or whatever.
Yeah. Like, the fact that this cycles makes it kind of interesting.
Okay, well, let's say it's just this one aura. So right. Enchanted creature gets +1/+1, and this card cycles.
And they prowess. So, no, it's still kind of bad.
Yeah. You need other stuff going on. So if you have a bunch of the, like I was mentioning, the 1 double white enchantment that makes your 2/2 flying lifelinker. If you have a billion
of light form?
Yeah, your light form. Oh. If you have a billion of those around and then this comes to
you. Yeah, I guess you have
super light.
What? You have light form, flight form, and
blight form.
Debilitating injury. and singing bell strike and stuff. I guess I could see maybe having this as a 23rd card.
Yeah.
I think that would be all right.
It's all right. I mean, if you... Okay, well, we... At the 1, it's not good. What if it's 2? What if it's draw 2, enchanted creature has +2/+2 for 4?
Well, that's excellent. That's Flight of Fancy.
At that point, it's like...
Yeah, at that point, yeah. We're just casting a draw spell, and we're fine with that.
Okay. Then, but you have to take this first pack. Oh, God.
Right. Like, seek out white auras.
Yeah, I guess if the pack is empty, you know, keep it in your back pocket.
If Bell Strike were white, then this would be a lot better, bizarrely enough.
Mm.
Wow, we don't have any, like, pacifism. Did pacifism go out of style?
It's too strong.
I guess it is. Man. Wow, that feels weird.
I'm suspicious of this card, but I also wouldn't... I can believe in scenarios where I get blown out by it, but I'm suspicious of it. All right. Here's a card that you don't need to be suspicious of because it does exactly what you think it'll do. Sandblast.
Yeah.
2 and a white for a common instant. Sandblast deals 5 damage to target attacking or blocking creature.
The first time I read this, I thought it was just a downgrade from Killshot.
Yeah.
But then I read Killshot again, and I'm like, oh, okay, fine. You can't slap a blocking creature.
Yeah, this can get the Ocho's Parapet out of the way.
I guess. 5 is actually a lot of damage.
Yeah.
It gets just that tiny little push into taking out a perfect creature.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Because of sand.
Because of sand.
Because
I would much rather have this have been a 2 mana 4 damage thing.
Yo, that would be nuts, I though. Guess.
That would...
In white?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nuts, though.
Mm. No, Sandblast is still
pretty good. Sandblast is still primo removal. Speaking of nuts, though...
Here we
go. Next card is Sandstep Outcast. 2 and a white for a 2/1 human warrior at common. When Sandstep Outcast enters the battlefield, choose one. Next slide. Put a +1/+1 counter on Sandstep Outcast. Or, next slide, put a 1/1 white spirit token with white spirit creature token with flying onto the battlefield.
So yeah, this guy is really good.
This is excellent.
One of the strongest commons. Probably the strongest common in any given pack that you see.
Very likely.
Yeah, this you get a this piker choice that is almost ghost. Always make the spirit.
Right, piker and ghost.
Having a flying ghost and creature goblin. Is pretty good. Making two creatures on one card is also really relevant. Because you often want to have like more or better creatures than your opponent, just in general. And then there's a lot of like team pump effects going on.
He's a warrior.
He's three mana. He adds one warrior to the battlefield and adds one creature with flying to the battlefield. This guy is a 3-mana 1/1 flying warrior. And for some reason, he is better and great, and people pick him, and they smack-talk Aven Skirmisher with the same mouths. And I don't understand it.
Because the piker can kill morphs.
Fine.
Also, this is two bodies.
The two bodies thing is the real thing.
That's the reason, Kaz.
That's the actual reason. Because Warflayer is a card, that's a real reason.
Dump it.
Just, you know, count up the number of games that you cast this guy as a 3-mana 1/1 flyer. And then report back to me on why you didn't include Aven Skirmisher in your deck.
Alright. Next up is Soul Summons. Hey. 1 and a white for a sorcery. Manifest the top card of your library. It's common. So,
That's it.
That's it. You just get that guy.
Fair.
And just bear.
We get bear.
Yeah, white bear.
Soul Summons is great.
Soul Summons is completely fine. And
man, good. Okay, this is a bear that triggers prowess that enables delve. That's just, it's good.
It's and sometimes it's so speed. Much more.
Oh, well, yeah. Sometimes I soul summon out my dragon claw. Serac Dragonclaw. What was that guy's name? The guy with the flash, and he was huge.
Serac Dragonclaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was uncountable, and you made your other creatures uncountable. Yeah, that's Serac Dragonclaw.
Serac Dragonclaw. Okay. Yeah,
the Temur Khan. So why are you playing a white card?
What? Because I'm the Greed Lord.
Okay,
obviously.
That's a good answer. This card is completely fine and good. Mm-hmm. Bear with upside.
Yeah, it's a swamp, by the way.
It's just a swamp. Don't trade with it. Definitely say dumb stuff to your opponent when you play with Manifest. Soulfire Grandmaster is our next card. 1 and a white for a 2/2 human monk at Mythic Rare. With lifelink. Instant and sorcery spells you control have lifelink.
Ooh.
And then for 2 and 2 blue-red hybrid mana, the next time you cast an instant or sorcery spell from your hand this turn, put that card into your hand instead of into your graveyard as it resolves.
Yeah.
So buy back any instant or sorcery.
Which does have lifelink. Even if it doesn't deal damage,
right. It will have lifelink. Yeah.
For bizarre reasons.
Him to Torak has lifelink.
Soulfire Grandmaster has already made splashes across... I want to say standard and modern, just for having like a reasonable body and lifelink and turning all of your, you know, lightning bolts into lightning helices, which is nuts.
Lightning helix is a hell of a drug,
Cass. It's good, and lightning helix can give you 6 life.
Yeah.
Wah!
Flame slash gains you 4.
Yeah. So
I'm a little disappointed in what reason. There's a bit of a flavor miss on this because it doesn't have flash.
Why should it have flash?
We'll get back to that. But yeah, you know, even without the activation getting you buyback, you're just a 2/2 lifelink for 2 that's going to gain you a ton of life in your white red aggressive bony tiny creature deck. Lets you just sort of go wild. And then maybe if you get to the late game, you start getting to buy back your lightning bolts.
Yeah, or buy back your soul summons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's scary, though. 6 sprout swarm all over again.
Yeah.
Not quite, but... Alright, next up is Valorous Stance. One and a white for an instant, uncommon. Choose one. Target creature gains indestructible until end of turn. Or...
Click.
Destroy target creature with toughness 4 or greater.
I'm really sad to see that. This whole, like, toughness 4... Like, destroying creatures based on toughness is usually what we call damage.
Right. But this one punishes you for having too much toughness.
Yeah, I guess.
Instead of not enough. It's like moon damage.
You know what it actually is? And I love this moniker for this particular card. It's what they call butt reprisal.
Oh, dang. But okay. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right, though. That is what it is. Good. That is a factual statement.
Valorous Stance is actually awesome.
Yes, this is a good...
Primo removal, and also the opposite of that.
Yeah. Counter your Primo removal?
Right. So, whoa-ha, whose stance is more valorous, I guess? They Valorous Stance your guy, and you can protect him with your Valorous Stance. That's pretty versatile.
Bit of a stance off.
It's pretty versatile for a 2-mana instant. So yeah, this card also has made it into the world of Constructed. So White's doing pretty well for itself for that.
Yeah, White's looking kind of good. Mm-hmm. Well, let's finish it off before we talk about it too much. Next up is Wandering Champion. One and a white for a 3/1 human monk at uncommon. Whenever Wandering Champion deals combat damage to a player, if you control a blue or red permanent, you may discard a card. If you do, draw a card.
Okay, that's probably never happening. What you're getting is a 2-mana 3/1, which is A-OK.
That's power greater than CMC.
It is.
By half.
Yeah. Now the Blade of the Sixth Pride or whatever is kind of a traditional white thing.
Mm.
White tends to get that from time to time. You know, maybe you'll loot. And that would be awesome.
Maybe you'll tool.
Oh, is it tooling?
Yeah.
Why?
And our last card is Ward Scale Dragon. 4 and double white for a 4/4 dragon at uncommon. This is part of the official uncommon dragon cycle. Ward Scale Dragon has flying, and as long as Ward Scale Dragon is attacking, defending player can't cast spells.
Where are your combat tricks now? Eek.
Your magic will not save me.
I guess not.
Yeah.
So yeah, just the rush to the declare attackers step.
Yeah. We're fighting. No.
No.
Sideways.
Yeah, so that it makes combat safer. I honestly wish this effect were on like a smaller body. I think this would be a lot more useful and thrilling as like a 3-mana 2/2 or maybe a 2-mana 2/1.
But see, if it was small, then some kind of instant speed combo deck would use it so that they would combo off during combat while their opponent cannot cast spells, and that would be hilarious.
God, that would be excellent.
Second coming of Xanted Swarm.
God. I want the Xanted Swarm kind of, but same. Worse. But only during combat.
Right.
The fighting swarm.
Fighting Xantids. I think that was my high school's mascot.
Oh, definitely.
The fighting Xantids. So that's white. White is bonkers. What the heck? White has so much just nutty good, like some nutty good stuff, and then a whole lot of completely just like regular good stuff. There are still some whiffs. But in general...
This is part of the reason that just black-white aggression or black-white decks in general are the strongest thing in draft, and everyone is kind of after them.
Except when they're not? But usually someone's after them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, white is so deep that you can't even tell if people are drafting it.
Mm.
Because there are enough like good cards that they can't pick. You know, like, Abzan Sky Captain and Dragon Bell Monk and like Mardu Woe Reaper might all be in the same pack.
Right. And you take like, any one of those, and you, then or the next person will think white's
over. Valorous Stance and Sandstep Outcast in the same pack, and then you get a late Soul Summons or something, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, I can still play white. You'll be wrong, but you'll still have good cards. Kind of makes me wonder about a limited format where the like power curve of cards is sort of flattened out, so we don't have any whiffs. So like something like Abzan Advantage would be the absolute worst thing in the entire set.
I mean, how many of the whiffs are actual whiffs and how many of them are merely conditional and average out to a whiff?
Well, alright. Runemark is just bad, as is Irration Cleric, as is Rally the Ancestors. And then for conditional stuff, we have Sage's Reverie.
Sage's Reverie, right.
Pressure Point. Those Lotus Eye Mystics.
Definitely sometimes correct.
Great Horn Crew Shock, I'm willing to call conditional. Channel Harm, I'd call conditional. Even Skirmisher is conditional. And then it just goes up from there.
Yeah, this is just a deep color in retcons.
So why is Soulfire Grandmaster supposed to have Flash?
I'll tell you later.
You can't. We're like seconds away from ending the thing.
Give me a second. Oh. I'm gonna look up.
He's gonna look something.
I'm gonna look it up.
Meanwhile, I'm gonna talk about the goofy Derf art that is Ward Scale Dragon, apparently, because it looks like
always look goofy.
It looks like his back end is in the super distance, and that he's just sort of like he's growing in the front end or puffing up like a balloon. And a lot of white dragons have the Anybody's shown me why Soulfire Grandmaster Flash doesn't or shouldn't. Is it supposed to
Flavor have Whiff?
Flash.
Should have Flash. It'd be too good, but it should have it. It's already mythic. Just keep pushing the power level.
Yeah, whatever, I guess.
Formats are self-correcting. It's not like it's Jace.
Formats are self-correcting. Excellent.
Although, speaking of format self-correcting, I think at this point it's, you know, speaking like all these great white codes in Standard, there's something of like a Standard Monk deck that has a bunch of good, like, you know, it's not that there's specifically Monk tribal support, but a lot of these really good value creatures happen to be Monks.
Hmm.
You know, your Monastery Mentor is a Monk, your Soulfire Grandmaster is a Monk, and you know, some of the new stuff that got spoiled out of the next set, like, that looks good, is Monk.
Hmm.
So it's just got this Standard Monk deck.
Yeah, take me to the monastery, please. I would love it.
36. Someone needs to come up with a deck that is correct to call and is called 36th Chamber. Hmm. Basically, if we're going to have all this kung fu stuff, we need kung fu, like, callbacks. And
now they need to call it, like, Kung Fu Crispies or something, because breakfast cereals.
Oh, yeah, okay. Breakfast cereals also have to. I can accept that because of
Lucky
that
Fists. Yo, it's
magically delicious. He says,
"Stop that! You're making the mic clip every time you do that."
I forget that technology.
I have to go and fix that every time you smack your fist together.
Then I'm not gonna.
Jeez.
If I do this, I have nothing to punch.
Okay. Yeah. It's like air whiff the air. That's good.
You can't see it, but I'm definitely giving some ghost the punching business right now.
I didn't have to edit that one out.
All right.
Yep, that's all we have to say about white. That's
all we have to say about retcons of Tokyo.
Yeah. Oh, did we talk about Ugin? I think we talked about Ugin.
Ugin is bonkers. There's
whatever,
nothing to say. He's
powerful,
just too bonkers.
Too. Yeah.
Stay free.
So look forward to other things than magic, and maybe then
please let us do things other than magic.
Dragons of dragons of dragons.
Dragon magic.
Dragons.
Dragon magic.
Dragons. Kids like dragons, so we're going to make a set that's all dragons.
Woo! Kids love dragons.
Dragons.
Dragons breakfast cereal. No. Dragons for breakfast?
Dragons for breakfast. Now with marshmallow skulls.
Skulls!